May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. On Thursday night, I had the opportunity to go back to the place where I used to work and preach about love. And on Friday morning, I spoke about love to the children at our school mass. Tomorrow night, the faith discussion group will be thinking about love. I'm quite relieved that this sermon isn't about love as well. Today's gospel reading is a passage which, above all, was instrumental for me in becoming a Christian. I remember reading it in a small King James Bible, one of those ones for people with incredibly good eyesight. It must have been my grandmother's at the very end of the Victorian era. And when I read it, I had a sense suddenly that something had changed for me. This passage from the Sermon on the Mount offers a totally radical perspective on human life and on the way that we could be. The normal human state is one, I think, of anxiety, which goes back to the most fundamental of human experiences. What if we don't have enough food? What if the well dries up? What if the raiders from across the water were to return? What if I catch another fever? What if I am too weak to work? What if I miscarry again? What if? What if? For ancient woman and ancient man, disaster was all too real, and they had little opportunity to insure themselves against it. And yet a surprising number of people, of course, in the world today still face the same uncertainty. The most shocking thing for me about my first visit to India in 1985 was meeting people whose lives were so totally insecure. I remember a couple in a tribal area who I visited with an Indian missionary in Tamil Nadu who sat waiting to die in their hut made of sticks, with no possessions and no food, too weak and too old to work, and without family to support them. For many people today, life is still nasty, brutish, and short, and they live at the mercy of rural poverty or economic downturn, epidemic, communitarian violence, or even today, as in East Africa, plagues of locusts of still biblical proportions, and they have little to fall back on. In our community, at least at the present, for people who have education and who are able to function socially as we are, we're spared the more extreme consequences of disaster. Our health and social security system, our access to credit and so on, blunt the impact of fate. But there is still, for all of us, anxiety about our health, our wealth, our jobs, and of course our relationships. We may have less anxiety than others about our physical survival, but we can still be anxious about our physical and mental well-being, our attractiveness, our relationships, our status, our store of wealth. We worry. Given that life for human beings, as for all creatures that God has made on the earth, is an experience of great vulnerability, we are quite good at managing our anxiety, but it's always there, and occasionally it becomes manageable, and we are then overwhelmed. The psalmist in Psalm 91 speaks about fearing the terror of night, the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness, and the plague that destroys at noonday. The terrors both of the day and of the night are not a modern invention, but for many fill their waking hours, both the night that God made and the daytime. And perhaps the current epidemic of anxiety among city dwellers in our modern times is because of the multiplication of threats and our systems simply being overloaded by physical and emotional strain, by the many things that we have to do and monitor just to function in city life. Simply going out to buy bread or milk in most parts of London requires a level of alertness and a full-on threat and stress management which can be overwhelming in itself. Many in this and our other congregation struggle to meet the huge demands of their stressful lives. They're required to succeed at their careers, sustain relationships, meet everyone's material expectations, and occasionally get sick children from home in, say, Kennington to St. Peter's through Vauxhall and Victoria Station, which is a marathon in its own right. For many, every day is a constant stress. To manage anxiety about our vulnerability, we look for ways to make ourselves safe from any of the potential disasters which may be coming our way. Ancient peoples lit fires, stored up supplies of food, and propitiated the gods in order to be one step ahead of destruction. In modern times, we do the same thing by investing in education for ourselves or for our children and scrabbling to the top of the economic pile when we can, buying property, guarding investments, and looking out for the future health of our bodies with trips to the gym and adopting less demanding or damaging habits. Maybe we could call all that activity greed or vanity. But I'd like to suggest that the rampant consumption which goes with the Western paradigm of success is at the heart an attempt to ward off our anxiety, to propitiate the god of what if. And here, I think, is the irony. In the process of trying to protect our individual security and the security of our communities with investments and profit, with industry and production, with more and better possessions, and all our unneeded stuff in storage, where it may never be seen again, we have created an economic monster which is now replicated in Africa, in South America, in Asia, which has laid waste the very world on which we depend, stripping the natural order of its health, destroying the soils, cutting down the forests, poisoning the fish, the seas, and the air we breathe. In an attempt to be safe, we have made ourselves catastrophically unsafe, storing up not safety, but rather troubles for tomorrow. And the second and more poignant irony is that the answer to this fear and to the risk of our out-of-control consumption, the desire to build bigger and bigger barns, or bigger roads and ports and airports and shopping centres and cars, the answer to that has always been known. Jesus, knowing our anxiety, said, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' It's the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all this. But strive for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Putting this teaching into practice in our lives, living for today and not for tomorrow, valuing what we have and not fearing that it will be taken from us, is the secret of life, and something which Jesus called the kingdom of God. It is, I'm sure you will agree, profoundly countercultural in the modern world. But it is the teaching which will save us and all the world, not only from our fear, but also from the consequences of that fear. If we would let it, if we would let it, if we would let go and trust the God who made us and all things in his wisdom and in his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.